What beautiful music this morning. Let us pray together. Thank you, our Father, for the printed Bible, for the Holy Spirit that makes it real to our lives. In the name of our Savior, we pray. Amen. Talking this morning on the subject, A Greater Than Solomon Is Here. Matthew chapter 12. In the text, a certain day, scribes and Pharisees were questioning, intimidating, pricking, and nearly blaspheming Jesus, saying, "Show us a sign." Jesus answered, "The Queen of Sheba will rise in judgment against you. She came from her far to honor King Solomon." And then he points to himself and says, "A greater than Solomon is here." How could he say that when Solomon himself said in Ecclesiastes 2:9, "So I was great, known as King of Kings, more affluence and influence than any other before him." And yet Jesus said, "I'm greater than Solomon." How can that be? What a contrast. Solomon was born in a palace. Jesus was born in a manger. Solomon was born in Jerusalem. Jesus in Bethlehem. Solomon had thousands of servants. Jesus had none. Solomon had a kingly robe. Jesus had a seamless robe. Solomon had vessels of gold. Jesus had a harlot's cup. Solomon had a place to lay his head, but Jesus had none. Solomon had 1,400 chariots, 1,200 horsemen, 4,000 stalls of horses. Jesus rode on an unbroken donkey. Solomon had 700 wives, 300 concubines. Somebody called them concubines. Jesus had no wife. Solomon ate with queens. Jesus ate with sinners. How then can Jesus say, "I'm greater than Solomon"? Number one, because his wisdom is greater than Solomon. Colossians 2:3 says, "In him dwells all the wisdom of life." Queen communed with Solomon, and he answered all her questions. Solomon wrote 3,000 proverbs and 1,500 songs. Solomon knew botany, but Jesus is the rose and the lily. Solomon knew biology, but Jesus is the giver of life. Solomon knew geology, but Jesus is the rock of ages. Solomon was a wise fool. Not only that, but his works were greater than Solomon. He said, "I must work the works of him that sent me. No man can do these works unless God be with you." There were three great works that Solomon did. He created the treasure house, took years to build, paneled with cedar, 45 pillars, patios with canopies, surrounded with costly stones, a beautiful house to live in. But Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you, a mansion in heaven." He not only built the treasure house, but he built the table, the ornate table, where they had the communion. But David said, "Thou preparest a table before me, the presence of my enemies." Solomon also built the temple. 183,000 men worked 7.5 years to build the temple. And David gave $10 billion himself. When they dedicated the temple, 4,000 in the orchestra, 4,000 ushers. But Jesus said, "You are the temple of the Holy Spirit." Natural temples will fall, but there's a temple in heaven waiting for us. Also, his worship is greater than that of Solomon. Hebrews 1:6 says, "Let all the angels worship him." Now, when they gathered in the temple to worship, they had 22,000 oxen, 120,000 sheep. But all the blood of those sheep could not cleanse from sin. In fact, Solomon himself had to bring a sacrifice for his own sin. But I love what Hebrews 10:12 said, This man, Jesus, offered one sacrifice to satisfy the justice of God. He did not need to sacrifice his own sin. He committed no sin. Number four, his wealth is greater than Solomon. Ephesians says, oh, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Now, when the queen saw the wealth of Solomon, she said, the half has never yet been told. He was richer than Rockefeller and Gates and all the rest. But I want to tell you, we have the unsearchable riches of Christ, something that money cannot buy. Number five, his workers are greater than that of Solomon. John 17:13, that your joy might be full. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. They said concerning Solomon's workers, your workers are so happy. Why not? They were serving at the throne. But we as God's people are the happiest people. We don't need the happy hour to be happy. Can you say amen? We have the happy attitudes and gratitude. So get happy. Don't walk around like you were baptized in lemon juice. One man was always complaining about everything, and he went into the restaurant and went up to the woman and said, do you serve crabs here? She said, yes, we do. Sit over there. We'll be right with you. Number six, his worthiness is greater than that of Solomon. Blessed be the God who put you on the throne. Worthy is the Lamb. What kind of throne did Solomon have? Overlaid with pure gold. Think of that. Six steps to the throne. Two lions as armrest. 12 lions on each side. No throne on earth was like it. But the God of grace and glory surrounds the throne of our blessed Savior. Revelation 5 says, worthy is the Lamb, angels and elders and saints, 10,000 times 10,000 upon thousands, all bowing and worshiping before the throne of the living God. Number seven, his wonders are greater than that of Solomon. Isaiah 9:6 said his name should be called Wonderful. Acts said he was attested by God to you by miracles and wonders. Solomon saved a baby's life by wisdom, but Jesus has come by his grace to save all of us. I'm not talking about fake miracles. You know, there are 10 false things the Bible says would happen in the last days. False spirits, false doctrines. And one of the things he said would be false miracles. They will say, I've done many miracles. And Jesus will say, I don't even know you. I like what one pastor said. I believe in healing, but I'm not sure I believe in healers. When people attest themselves as being so great, to rum people up, try to gain a miracle, so to pat themselves on the back of how spiritual and how great they are. Let me say to you, there's only one healer, not fake healing. One man boasted to his friend, he said, you know, every time I pray, I get a miracle. And they're walking along, and he looked up and saw a duck in the sky, and he said, you know, I'm going to pray that God will help me hit that duck with this gun. And he reached up and began to shoot and shoot, and the duck kept flying. The man said, what happened to your miracle? Well, he said, it's a bigger miracle than I thought. That's a dead duck still flying. You know, a man came out from the Hicks and out, never had been to a shopping center before, and certainly had never seen an elevator. And he saw a very ugly woman walking into the elevator, and the doors closed. Only a few minutes later, a beautiful, gorgeous lady walked out. My goodness, he said, it's a miracle machine. Gonna bring my wife here next week. But Jesus gives great miracles. Jesus does wonders with nothing. Jesus does wonders with nobodies. Jesus does wonders at nighttime. Jesus does wonders in the nick of time. Queen Victoria, when receiving her crown, said, someday we're gonna lay our crowns down at the feet of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. A little boy wanted so much to see the king, and so he was forbidden to come even close. A policeman was ordering the lad to leave suddenly. But all of a sudden, the man stiffened and sprang to attention. A well-dressed, confident man approached. A nod from that man, the policeman unlocked the gates and stood aside. "Come with me, sonny boy. What is your name?" "My name is Willie." He said, "We're going to go to the throne." Into the palace they went, and inside were 40 housemaids, 54 men, one man who did nothing but wind clocks all day, 600 rooms. Willie and the man walked on and on to the north wings upstairs, along the endless passages, to the king's corridor. The man seemed to know the way. They chatted about the rooms, magnificent ballrooms containing two majestic thrones, a stamp room, a suite with 44 rooms, a royal wardrobe, music rooms, a table as large as a skating rink. But they arrived at the presence of the king. And this young fellow said, "Willie, meet my father." The little boy had taken the hand of Edward, Prince of Wales, the king's son. Through him, little Willie was able to come to the throne. Let me tell you something. Through Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior, we can come to the throne of God in the glory of his presence. Give the Lord a hand to praise. We can come to him. Make him a king of your failures. Anybody ever made a mistake? Make him the king of your feelings, your depression, distresses. Make him the king of your fears. We've not received the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and a sound mind. Make him king of your finances. Let God become your partner. He never goes broke. Make him the king of your future. You know, there are two people that we wanted to be guests at our crusades. Neither one of them could come that year because both of them died. One of them, Dale Evans, was going to bring Roy Rogers. How many know that had been a drawing card? But he died. Another was Stuart Hamlin, who wrote the song, "It Is No Secret What God Can Do." But he wrote these words: "I know not what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. Our great king has become our servant." We preached three times in San Antonio, Texas, for John Hagee. I asked my son the other day how many times we'd been there. He said, "Hey, Dad, we've been there three times." And he told me what year it was and how long we were there. But John Hagee tells the story. "I went to a cancer ward to help those that were cancer. And I saw a little boy walk in with a hair shaved off his head. And his dad by his side. He came up and said, 'Hey, preacher, this is my dad.' A few days later, he went back, and the little boy came back through the door with the shaven head. But he said his father had his head shaved off too. He said, 'You know, my daddy loved me so much. He wanted to look just like me. God came where we were so we could be like him.'" Lee Strover tells of a Korean woman who had an affair with an American soldier. During the Korean War, she became pregnant. When the child was born, the father skipped out, went back to the United States. The Korean girl never heard from him again, and her child looked like a Korean child, except she was different. She had light-headed, curly hair. A mixed child in those days was treated like dirt. They called them Tuxis, which is the worst term, which means a little devil. Many Korean mothers in that condition killed their babies so they won't have to be taunted and harassed. But this Korean mother kept that child until she could stand it no longer. She wanted to raise the child, but now she's 8 years old, and she sent her to the streets. And that little girl, 8 years old, slipped under the bridge, ran with a pack of children. They assaulted her. When you feel that way, you feel like you're nothing. You deserve to be mistreated. Think of it. Then she learned something. An orphanage was opening. And she was, at least she had something to eat. And then they found out that a missionary was coming. He was going to come to adopt the little boy. She was the oldest of the children. She got them all cleaned and ready. And she said, when that man walked in, he looked like a giant of a man. He came to adopt the little boy, and you would pick up one boy and then pick up another and pick up another and hug them. All of a sudden, he looked at the corner of his eye, and he saw that little 9-year-old girl, skin and bones, boils all over her body. And he went over and he put his big hand on her head. This is the one I want to adopt. She said later, I wish he'd have kept his hand there forever. But she couldn't understand that kind of love, and she tossed his hand aside, ran away. But the next day, the missionary and his wife came, and they found that little girl. They said, we've come to adopt you. We want you to be a part of our family. She flung herself into their arms and cried like a baby. Do you know that's where we were? Sinful, poor, unworthy, hell-bound, bound by guilt and emptiness, loneliness, without hope and without help. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords came down to put his hand upon us and to save us. None of us were worthy. All of us were unworthy. All of us were sinners. But Jesus, the great King, became our servant, dying on that cross, hands and feet nailed to the tree, a spear in his side, blood and water falling down upon that ground beneath the cross. There he bled and died for you and for me. I would ask you today that are listening, many parts of the country, you feel like your life is a failure, you feel like you're at the bottom, you don't know what to do. Give your life to Jesus today. Let him come into your life. The King became the servant that you might be forgiven of all of your sins. Let him come into your life. Pray this prayer with me. Say, oh God, I know I have sinned. I'm sorry for my sins. Come into my life and forgive me. I receive you as my only Savior. In Jesus' name I pray. If you prayed that prayer, Christ has come into your life. May God bless you. May God bless this beautiful family. May God bless America. In Jesus' name. Amen. May we all rise together with nobody leaving the building, please.